rides his pony down life's lane, searching for the why of all the pain he knows. It'll never be the same.
Good morning, Lizzie.
Hey, Legs.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing really well, thank you. I'm excited to be sitting here with you to do another podcast. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning. Got our seedlings in the greenhouse, and Teo has a gift of a rawhide from my daughter, and he's chomping, and you probably hear him chomping in the background today.
No, that's not me. That's him.
We don't usually give him that, but... No.
Very content.
It came from a friend, so I said okay. You want to start off? We're going to start off with a song that, if you want to pause your podcast and put it on your music player, feel free, or you can wait till the end. What song do you have today?
I chose a song partly because of what we'll be discussing today. But it's Jackson Browne's Before the Deluge. And he wrote that at a time when not a lot of artists were talking about the fragility of the environment. And it's just truly a beautiful song. And it's about, you know, people coming together and trying to make the world a better place and the environment more beautiful and a better place.
Nice.
And, yeah, so love that song. Love Jackson Browne, and that was amazing.
Wonderful. And we've said that we want people to get out and do things, listen to music, walk, ride your bike. And if something inspires you in the middle of our podcast, just turn it off and go do it. So if you're inspired to listen to the song, put us on pause, play the song. And if you don't come back, that's okay, but we hope you'll come back. So this week is punk farming. And today we are going to talk about front yard gardens, front yard edible gardens, and also, you know, food in the household, making food. And in our life, we are living in a place with way too much lawn, and it really is bothersome. But we rent. I was taking care of my mom before Legs moved in here, and it's a lovely little house. And, you know, because we rent, you know, it's sometimes challenging to say, or impossible to say, let's tear out the lawn and put in a garden. So we're kind of looking around for some other places to live that would be in line with the slow life and the punk farm love life podcast and life that we're, this journey that we're on. And in thinking about that, I wanted to talk about the fact that front yard gardens are not allowed in some cities. Did you know that?
No, not until we started researching this did I know that. So that's amazing that they wouldn't allow that.
Yeah, and so the first thing I found is something out of Sacramento that talked about when the law was changed in Sacramento, and this is Sustainable Urban Gardens is the website. It's sacgardens.org, and they're letting everybody know on this page that the city council adopted a new front yard landscape code that allows for sustainable, diverse landscapes without restricting fruits and vegetables. Now, who would have thought that that would have been restricted? But when you think about you know, there's a challenge to property rights in a lot of areas now. There's this philosophy of the commons, and you know, it raises the hair on a lot of people's. I mean, people are so entrenched with property rights. So we could talk about many things in that area, but the front yard restrictions would come about from you next door thinking that my vegetable garden is going to hurt your property values,
right?
Right,
because it doesn't it's not the same as everybody else,
right?
Right? So it's going to look different, maybe a little what they perceive as unkempt, mm-hmm. compared to this manicured lawn that, yeah, that needs to be maintained and all the things that go into that.
Yeah, and so Sacramento, back in this year of 07, they were making a big push for water conservation, water quality, lowering pesticides, and managing their green waste. And this was a very, you know, many of the backyards, they said, are unsuitable for growing food because of the many trees in Sacramento and the tree canopy that people would have in their backyards. So the front yards made the perfect place. So that was really good news there. That led me to, I tried to find out, well, what cities don't allow it? And I came upon this article from 2016 by Balin Linekin, and the publication is Earth Island Journal. Local laws ban front yard food gardens in cities across the U.S. I'm going to read some of this. And if sustainability starts at home, then so do rules that determine just how sustainable you can be in your home life. Farmers can rely on their own crops and livestock for food, compost, clothing, and a host of other solutions. Gardens can be a great place for homeowners to help feed a family and use composted waste. Even other less obvious home-based pursuits can feed into sustainability efforts. With the big home brewing movement, some people were, you know, throwing the hops in their garden, but a lot of people were making food. They talk in this article that before 1978, it was illegal for Americans to brew beer at home, and then Jimmy Carter signed a law into law a bill that allowed Americans to make beer and wine at home. I think it has to be under a certain amount.
But he was a peanut farmer, remember?
So that's right.
Yeah.
So, so then they talk about a number of people that's in different states where they were cracking down on people growing vegetables in their homes at home. And despite the mushrooming popularity of raising food at home, gardeners around the country have faced a dizzying number of bewildering restrictions in recent years. Jason Helveston was at work on his second crop, spreading compost to fertilize the carrots, bok choy, kale, and dozens of other vegetables he grows organically on his property in Orlando, Florida, when the trouble began, reads the lead of that same New York Times article. We'll have to look that up, which focuses on municipal battles over home gardens. A neighbor's landlord had complained that Helveston's neat little garden made his house look like a farm. Helveston, a sustainability consultant, squared off against city officials intent on forcing him to rip up the garden in his front yard. The city backed down in 2013, and Helveston was able to keep his garden, but others haven't been so lucky. And we'll post this article in the show notes, but basically it goes on to talk about some other people who had their gardens ripped out. One is, in some cases, local governments have gone so far as to rip food-bearing plants from the yards of residents. Denise Morrison of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is one such victim. In 2012, Tulsa code enforcement officers walked into Morrison's front yard without her permission and uprooted her edible garden. Morrison, who was unemployed at the time, was using the food she grew to sustain herself during a difficult period. Code officers, on the other hand, were enforcing a city ordinance that said plants cannot be higher than 12 inches unless they're used for human consumption. Morrison's garden contained lemon, stevia, garlic, chives, grapes, strawberries, apple, mint, spearmint, peppermint, fruit trees, and other foods that would have been used for her consumption had the code enforcers not cut down and ripped others right out of the ground. The city claimed Morrison's yard did not contain any organic garden but had large amounts of unintended dead and decaying vegetation and healthy trees, blah, blah, blah. So even though this is a few years old, I didn't know. My day gig is I'm a real estate broker and I focus on conservation and regenerative agriculture land. And I sold a house in this town, and I figured if I'm going to send a postcard out to people,
right,
I'm going to send a message rather than just saying, here's a house I sold. So I did a postcard that says, has a picture on the front of just a cool looking, and it just says front yard garden, and a cool picture of a front yard garden, and put a little information on me on the back. And I had, it didn't even dawn on me that in some places that's illegal to do. And so I think this is just really fascinating, and we wanted to share it just to put in your mind the thought of a front yard garden. Do a quick internet search. You'll see beautiful, beautiful, beautiful photos. And you can just imagine driving down the street. And I'm sure there are neighborhoods like this where it is legal, and someone did the first one and the neighbor copied it, and just walking down the street where there's all that produce in the neighborhood.
People are ingenious, and they have the ability to make things look beautiful, and they should be allowed to, you know, do something. This is creative. This is their art, and plus it's doing something for their family, giving them something to eat, healthy. And that's what we're promoting here, is healthy food, growing your own food. And that's, you know, it's DIY, sort of going outside the norms. And that's why we call it punk farming. Because it's not, the average person wants to have that big lawn out front and so forth. And this is just a different way to look at what to do with that piece of land up front, as long as it's legal. We're not saying not do anything illegal, but if it's legal, go and, you know, or like that one gentleman in Florida, he the sustainability consultant, he confronted the city officials and ended up winning because he felt strongly about it. So sometimes it just takes one person to make a difference. And that's why we're talking about it. Hopefully two people here can reach out to at least one person and make a difference. And they're going to go out and think about, hey, I got this land out in front of my house. I'm going to go grow a garden.
Yeah, and it may be, since we didn't do an in-depth search on the status today, it could be that most of those have been overturned, which is good. And just to talk about what it used to be makes it interesting. It makes you think, oh, if I do have the right to do it, I think it, you'd be planting a garden, growing your own food, using that space for food versus, you know, water, something that requires so much water in a lawn. We're already trying to make things more drought resistant, and you would be actually promoting sustainability, right? Because your neighbors are going to see you. And with our Punk Farm Love Life, the love aspect is being closer to your community. And if you're out there working in your garden, it's kind of like sitting on your front porch. You see when that person walks by, as long as you don't have a dog like Teo that's going to start going crazy. but you can start, you're going to start a conversation.
Exactly.
You're going to say, oh, that looks good, or what you got? And you hand them a couple of tomatoes, and that's a beautiful life.
Exactly. And, you were talking to me while we were discussing this, how we walked past some people's yards with higher vegetation and so forth, and you're saying how it actually keeps things cooler. And I didn't know that certain, that what we would think is just some higher grass or weeds or just vegetation is actually keeping the area cooler and requires less water. And I didn't know that. So I'm learning something every day.
Yeah, a friend of mine who is very environmental, and she lives in Angwin, California. She posted on her social media, and she doesn't post a lot of junk. It's always kind of interesting, meaningful things. And it showed the temperature of the ground with really shortcut grass. Might have even started with dirt, and then grass, and a little higher grass, and then kind of meadow height grass. And that meadow height grass in most communities gets the fire department to give you a letter. But I think you could probably manage it so you have it in areas, and some areas are also kept more clean. But the difference in how cool the ground and then the resulting community, it's pretty amazing. Maybe when you're going over your next thing, I'll look that up. There's a community in Petaluma. It's an organization called Petaluma Cool, or Cool Petaluma, and they're going block by block, and the people living in that block work on things to cool their block.
Oh, really?
For climate, and just, I'm sure it's things like this. That would be, I'll write it down. That'd be a cool future episode to talk about what they're doing, maybe even talk with them about the things they're having people do, because it's things like that. And I'm sure gardening is on the list, I would imagine, you know.
And you know, the other thing, by people growing their own gardens out front of their homes, it's giving them more choice and more control. They're self-reliant. And if we think back to our forefathers, which I always find that saying forefathers, but they were self-reliant. They were in the middle of nowhere, self-reliant on themselves. And I think we've lost a little bit of that. And I think, and they helped each other. You know, they helped their neighbors. Even though their neighbor might be a mile or two away, they helped each other. So I think by doing this, you know, like you said, somebody might be walking by, start a conversation. Hey, do you want to try one of my, you know, something from my garden? It just starts that bond that you're creating with your neighbors that we are losing. And that's really what we're talking about with the slow life. And so I think like all of these little different things have an effect, and one by one, it creates into a bigger effect and a bigger movement. And if you think of life as slowing it down and seeing the benefits in the way that it was done in the past, and now with the fact that we know more, you know, it's possible that you could have the best of both worlds, this nice slow life with things that you really love, but you still can, you know, do your job and educate your kids and have a wonderful life as, you know, the world is right now, but in a little bit different way. Dare to be different.
You can still like get European football on the telly and live a slow life.
And you just don't have to read about it in some magazine 2 weeks later or something like that. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
So Legs has something kind of related to the food topic that he wanted to talk about. And would it be too distracting for me to look up that the temperature? So you
Not at all. And in fact, you know, when we were researching this episode and deciding what to do, you know, of course, with everything we've done, I'm learning something more. And what I wasn't aware of is that, so first of all, we live in California, as most of our listeners know. And, you know, generally, California is a little bit more progressive on many things. And what I learned that back in 2013, the governor at the time, Jerry Brown, signed the California Handmade Food Act, and that it allowed people to make food in their homes with some rules. And they refer to it as a cottage food operation, or CFO. There's always an acronym for something. And so with that, with certain, you know, rules as far as what you can sell, people could be growing their own food and selling it and, you know, earning some living from it, if not a living. There are some restrictions on income and so forth, depending on how you classify yourself. But really, it's a simple process of you get a permit, you take a class online for like $15, and you know, as long as you follow this criteria, you can be using the food that you grow in making different things that it can't be perishable, of course. And they list clearly what you're allowed to sell and what you can't sell. And it would give people an opportunity to, you know, just do something a little bit different, you know, whether it turns into a hobby or a full-fledged business. It's another option if you're able to grow your own food with combinations of other things. You could have, you know, giving something back to the community. And so, you know, it's pretty, you know, people are, like I said, can be very ingenious and can, you know, when they want to, can really do something extraordinary. And you know, if you just took this idea, looked what you could do, Besides feeding your family, you'd be helping the world out there in your own little neighborhood with this act that allows you to do this. And I just, you know, it's this is simple. I mean, they clearly say you can have baked goods, candies, chocolate-covered non-perishable foods.
Well, I wanna just give a little... We have not gone to like the approving agencies, and I think within each area there could be slight differences. So whatever you're doing, obviously you're gonna, right, you know, get the. And this was on the California Department of Public Health site,
right?
So I would think that it would be up to date, but it does say that this list is January 1st, 2013. So just make sure. And also the baked goods that you just said, it says without cream, custard, or meat fillings, such as breads, biscuits, churros, cookies, pastries, and tortillas. Can I add something about Elizabeth?
Yes, of course.
So someone I'm very close with, there was a time when she was a mom and they needed a little extra money, and she made this beautiful lemon pound cake, and she would just make that every week. And I'm sure there's so many people out there that have these side businesses of food, and but you can keep on reading the list. I just wanted to set that little caveat that this, yeah, if we're off, you know, let us know, or if we have an outdated list. But
yeah, I was going to go down.
I didn't realize this. I was thinking, you know, we're going to be growing some things and selling some things, and I thought we'd need to find a commercial kitchen.
Right.
So it's pretty cool that if we fell within the approved products that we could do.
I mean, it's not lawlessness. I mean, you do have some rules, and there, it has to be clean. You can't have like animals and children in a kitchen that you're doing this in. You can't be smoking, of course. So there are rules.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, thank goodness. But and I'm not going down the whole list, but there's a lot, because there's a lot of stuff to that they allow. And I was just pretty amazed on all the things that you could do and sell and just have a very unique opportunity to do something worthwhile, probably a lot of fun with your family, and do something for your community. And it's giving back to your community while making a little extra money. And I think that's really cool. And also, I don't know if you realize this, that also, while I was researching this, California in 2018 passed, made it legal. It's called the California Safe Sidewalk Vendors Act. So, you know, if you've been to California, you will see people selling things, you know, vendors selling things on sidewalks and so forth. Again, there are laws and there's rules. And every person that's for it, there's people against it. But what I'm saying is that California is thinking outside the box, and besides allowing people to grow in their front yards, then have this cottage food operation, they're also allowing you to go out with the proper approvals and the proper equipment and so forth, sell it as a vendor out on the street. And so they're giving every opportunity to everyone to go out and make this something, if it's, you know, if it interests you, and it's, you know, it's helping the world by making your own stuff, healthy stuff, and selling it to people. And I think that's what we're all about. That's what we're talking about on this podcast, is helping the world and making a small difference. And I think that's really cool. And now I'm going to go, and if they're selling healthy food from these vendors, I'll probably buy something from them more often, just knowing that, you know, most likely this is how they're making it, and this is the idea behind their enterprise.
Well, the whole food truck movement is so amazing, and these little food truck villages and these areas of the cities where they create a little, you know, food court of the food trucks and, right, have event nights are so cool. But I think you're also talking about how you walk out, like when we walked out of the Greek Theater and we saw the Replacements in August, and we walked out and there were all those, like the hot dog with the onion vendors and,
right,
all the people. So they're probably all under those types of regulations.
There's different ones, and it's we're not here to like list all the laws and what the rules are, because you can just look it up, and because we don't eat meat, we wouldn't be eating sausages. But there are, you know, but if somebody had something, you know, that was healthy there after it was Greek Theater in Berkeley, we would have probably stopped and gotten something, you know, because we were hungry. So I think that's, you know, it's something to look for. And again, what they have to offer, researching this, again, I've learned something new. And that's what we're hopefully doing with all of you listening, is learn, you know, you're going to learn something new.
Great. Well, if you don't have a space in your backyard, or you just want to add to your garden and you're allowed to do it in your town, think about putting in a front yard garden, even if it's just a couple of beds. I think that could be very nice. And we're going to go see a place to live today. We don't know if that's going to work out, but it's got some gardening space, and we'll see what happens. More coming later.
And plus, you'll be along learning with us and seeing what happens with our garden and the things that we make and what we're going to do with them. And with this information, it's going to, you know, who knows? With everything that, all the seeds we planted and the different things we're going to do.
One of the things exciting on the list is popcorn.
Yeah.
And we bought some popping corn, which they say that when you grow your own popping corn, that it just tastes so much better than store-bought corn. And it's a great farmer's market thing to sell. So great. Will that do it for today?
I think so.
Okay. All
right. Another wonderful
Punk Farm.
Farm love life.
Thanks, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Rides his pony down life's lane, searching for the wild of all.
Thank you for listening to the Legs and Lizzie Punk Farm Love Life podcast. Please subscribe to get notified of new episodes. We'd love to have you as part of the Legs and Lizzie family. It really helps us if you also leave a review.
You can support the podcast by becoming a Legs and Lizzie patron at patreon.com. Just search Legs and Lizzie. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. Podcast music is by Lizzie's brother, who goes by Squint Todd and the Horse Thieves. See the show notes for links to other things we mentioned.
Be safe and happy until next time.
Do stuff. Make stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, plants.
We don't need much, we just need each other.
There's a coyote bawling in the pouring rain. Sometimes he thinks he can feel his pain. Just tags along and listens while he sings his song. Love is all she knows. So on and on they go. Oh, strangers cry. Join the march on the crowd. Let the hyena circling laugh out loud and noise. Lord knows he had his day. For strangers cry. Drift along.